Welcome to Von Scope. I have our program of news, views, comments and analysis from Voice of Nigeria, Abuja. You can listen to this broadcast on www.von.gov.ng.
As a profession that deals with matters of life and death, when soldiers die in the hands of the enemies of the state, we take it as dying for what the nation has considered a just cause.
So stay tuned to find out who said this and why in the course of the program Von Scope. And now, the headlines. Nigerian government moved to re-engineer nation's economic framework. Uganda's president launches first interest-free commercial bank. Baltimore Bridge collapse. Divers find two submerged bodies. Details of these and more will be coming up, including economic and sport news, today in history, and African proverbs in the course of the program. Do stay tuned. The program, once again, is Von Scope, and I am Rebecca Yunusa Avia. First, we start with the World News Bulletin. Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu has set up a 31-man Presidential Economic Coordination Council to support and re-engineer the nation's economic governance framework. Announcing the Economy Focus Initiative in a statement, Special Advisor to the President on Media and Publicity, Mr. Ajuri Ngalale, said the council, which will be chaired by President Tinubu, will consist of 31 members made up of key government officials and members of organized private sector. Mr. Ngalale added that the president also created the Economic Management Team Emergency Task Force, which was approved by the Federal Executive Council. Meanwhile, the recently established Economic Management Team Emergency Task Force is to address immediate economic challenges and ensure the streamlined execution of economic strategies. The Nigerian president, Bola Tinubu, has posthumously awarded the 17 heroes of the Okuama killings with national honors. The president announced the awards during the burial ceremony of the 17 officers killed in Delta State at the National Cemetery in Abuja, Nigeria. The four ranking officers, Lieutenant Colonel Muhammad Ali, Major DEOB, Major Ashafa, and Captain Yus Zakaria, were awarded with a member of the Order of Niger. The remaining 13 officers have also been awarded with the Officer of the Order of the Niger. The Nigerian leader added that each man now belongs to the hallowed list of servicemen and women who defended Nigeria and protected their fellow citizens, not minding the risks to their own lives. The Nigerian government has declared Friday, March 29, and Monday, April 1, 2024, as public holidays to mark the celebrations of 2024, Good Friday and Easter Monday. The declaration was made by the Minister of Interior, Lubumi Tunjioju, on behalf of the federal government in a statement signed by the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry, Aishetu Indayako. According to the minister, Easter, beyond religious significance, promotes values of love, forgiveness, and compassion, which are essential for social cohesion and harmony. He called on Christians to imbibe these virtues as they are capable of impacting positively on the socioeconomic development of Nigerians by fostering unity, reducing conflict, and encouraging cooperation. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has officially launched the country's first ever interest-free commercial Islamic bank. Salam Bank Limited, a subsidiary of a Djibouti-based bank, is the first institution to offer Islamic financing in the country. President Museveni said the institution had the potential to significantly contribute to the development of the country's financial sector and attract more Muslim investors. Senegal's opposition candidate, Bassirou Diomaye Faye, has emerged as the winner of Sunday's elections with 54.28% of the total votes, according to official provisional results released by the Electoral Commission. Presidential candidates have until the end of Thursday, March 28, 2024, to file appeals challenging Mr. Faye's win, failure to which the Constitutional Council will confirm him as the president-elect. Mr. Faye has promised to govern Senegal with humility and has also promised to put measures in place to address youth unemployment and the high costs of living. Divers at the Baltimore Bridge collapse in the United States of America have uncovered two bodies submerged underwater in a red pickup truck. Eight construction workers were on the bridge when a ship struck it, plunging them into the waters below. Two of the workers were rescued on the same day, but the search continues for the other four, all presumed dead. Salvage crews are working to address hazardous materials and accident investigators are on the scene. And that's the world news. If you've just joined us, the program is Vance Cope reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. The Nigerian Army has laid to rest the remains of the 17 personnel who were killed in Delta State, southern Nigeria, on March 14 with military honors at the National Military Cemetery, Abuja, the nation's capital. The personnel, made up of one lieutenant colonel, two majors, one captain, and 13 soldiers, were laid to rest in a very solemn ceremony witnessed by the President and Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, President Bola Tinubu, service chiefs, among other dignitaries. Voice of Nigeria's defense correspondent Neke Origin, who was there, filed in this report.
The slain personnel, it will be recalled, were ambushed and murdered by youths while on a peace mission after a case of communal clash in some communities in Delta State were reported. They included commanding officer 181 Amphibious Battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Abdullahi Ali, and 17 other personnel of the Nigerian Army. The caskets covered in green, white, green made a procession into the graveyard in military style, where prayers were made for the souls of the departed and the families they left behind. The Chief of Army Staff, Lieutenant General Tariq Lagoja, who was the chief host, said it has become the toughest job for him to send men in harm's way, despite providing the best equipment, knowing that some of them would not make it back alive. He described the act of killing the personnel as the most barbaric act any citizen or community can commit against the authority of the state, saying the military has exercised a lot of restraint in its search and recovery efforts for missing parts of the personnel.
As is a profession that deals with matters of life and death, when soldiers die in the hands of the enemies of the state, we take it as dying for what the nation has considered a just cause. But when they are gruesomely murdered by the very people they are trained, equipped, and took an oath to protect, it is highly demoralizing.
While commiserating with the families of the gallant soldiers, the Chief of Army Staff assured them that the Nigerian Army would not leave them in the cold, promising to do all within its powers to provide succor to them and preserve the memories of their departed loved ones.
The Okuama killing has added to the care of the Nigerian Army and by extension, the Nigerian state. 10 widows, 3 of whom are 4, 5, and 8 months pregnant, 21 orphans, and many other dependents, which include parents.
The Chief of Defense Staff General Christopher Musa said the fallen heroes exemplified the highest bravery and service to the nation, and their sacrifices would not go in vain. He stressed that the military would bring the perpetrators to justice, and whoever is supporting them directly or indirectly would face the music.
To our fallen heroes, we say thank you. Thank you for your unwavering commitment to duty, your sacrifices, and your love for our nation. You served bravely, and your courage will never be forgotten. We will honor your memory by continuing the fight against those who seek to undermine our peace. We will remain steadfast in our resolve to build a nation worthy of your sacrifice.
This sacrifice will not go in vain.
The President and Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, Bola Tinubu, was joined in paying the last respect by the Chief of Defense Staff, Chief of Army Staff, Chief of Air Staff, and Chief of Naval Staff, among other prominent Nigerians, with the laying of wreaths before the bodies were committed to earth. From the National Military Cemetery in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, I am Nake Origin, reporting for Voice of Nigeria.
The Minister of the Federal Capital Territory, FCT, Mr. Yesu Mwike, has expressed satisfaction with the quality and speed of the ongoing road construction in Kuje Area Council of the FCT. Mwike stated this after he inspected some of the ongoing road projects within the nation's capital, Abuja, Nigeria. Voice of Nigeria's correspondent, Hudu Yakubu, has more.
The Minister of the Nigerian Federal Capital Territory, Mr. Yesu Mwike, has assured that the ongoing FCT Highway 105, which will link the airport expressway to Kuje Township, will be completed by the end of this year. Speaking during the tour, the FCT minister expressed satisfaction with the quality of work and assured that the contractors is committed with the schedule, adding that all challenges that will slow the pace of work have been addressed. The minister, who also expected a 5-kilometer emergency alpha carriageway from Tifagar Junction to LEA Secretariat in Kuje Area Council, expressed satisfaction with the quality of work on the road project and also assured that it will be completed by the end of 2024. He said that the contractors has done artwork covering 2.5 kilometers, adding that what would follow was the drainage.
We are very impressed. And the one from the airport to the city, which is a 6-lane carrier dualization by the Arab contractors, you can see with your eyes that the work is going on very well. And with the quality of work we saw, we are quite satisfied too. The contractors have said that before the end of the year, they would have completed all the earthwork. It gladdens our hearts that we are reaching our targets.
Earlier, the Executive Secretary, Federal Capital Development Authority, Engineer Shehu Adi Ahmed, said that the route linking Airport Expressway to Kuje Township will cover 11 kilometers. Ahmed explained that between the Airport Expressway to Kuje Junction, the route will cross over rivers and also cross over the Outer Southern Expressway that will link the city center with Gogolada Expressway. He further explained that one of the major constraints affecting the delivery of the route was the presence of 5 towers belonging to Transmission Company of Nigeria along the road corridor. The FCDA boss added that TCN has been contacted and have agreed to relocate the tower, stressing that until the obstruction will be removed, work will not take place in the affected area.
One of our major constraints involving another ministry, another agency, not really ministry, TCN. The towers from the last one there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, are actually within the road corridor. And we have engaged TCN. They are arranging, because this is primarily within their domain. Any voltage above 33 kV is normally handled by the TCN.
The route includes a 6-lane dual carriageway from Airport Expressway to Kuje Junction and a 5-kilometer dual carriageway from Garage Junction to LEA Secretariat in Kuje Area Council. For Voice of Nigeria, I am Hudu Yakubu reporting.
The need to end discrimination and marginalization against women with disabilities in Nigeria has been re-emphasized. The British Council Regional Head of Equality, Diversity and Inclusion, Sub-Saharan Africa, Chika Idoko, made this known in Lagos during a roundtable on diversity, inspiring inclusion for women and people living with disability. Voice of Nigeria's correspondent Cynthia Okere, who was at the event, completes the story.
Idoka identified stigma and discrimination as the major problems facing people with disabilities and called for more awareness campaign to help change people's perception of those with disabilities, especially in workplaces.
We're exploring the intersection of gender and disability to uncover some of the barriers that are not as overtly expressed around women's inclusion and participation. Within the workplace, one of the key things is the attitudinal barriers, the perception that persons with disability do not equate talent, and that's flawed. We need to really raise awareness, get more people on board with driving efforts for inclusion for persons with disabilities.
The regional head also harped on the need for more empowerment of people with disabilities and the need to create a conducive environment for them to thrive.
People living with disabilities need access, need to be empowered, to be able to contribute fully. We need to move beyond tokenism. We need to provide real opportunities that are sustained. Let's have more people in positions of authority, in positions of decision making, and the enabling environment, which comprises of you and I, being able to shift the mindset and being able to make a difference.
Some of the women with disabilities recounted their experiences and the need for urgent solutions to their plight.
I identify as a blind lady.
I live with a disability called cerebral palsy.
Irrespective of being a person with a disability, I didn't want that to stop me because even before the disability, I was already a teacher.
One of the biggest challenges I had as an employee in Nigeria was lack of accessibility to transportation system to even get to work.
I can still bring value to the organization, even though I now have an impairment.
I believe all workplaces should, you know, modify structures and make things accessible so we can do them ourselves.
The event, which was organized by the British Council in collaboration with When Women Win, was inspired by this year's International Women's Day, aimed at fostering dialogue and action towards greater inclusion and empowerment of women, particularly those with disabilities, in the workplaces. From Lagos, I am Cynthia Okere reporting for Voice of Nigeria.
Our non-governmental organization, the Citizens Advocacy for Social and Economic Rights, CESAR, says the full adoption of biotechnology will ensure the availability and affordability of food for Nigerians amidst the prevalent economic challenges. The executive director of CESAR, Barrister Frank Tete, while briefing journalists in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, stressed on the importance of genetically modified foods towards achieving the country's food security.
Nigeria's journey in the application of the principles of biotechnology has been a long way coming. And we, as an organization, Citizens Advocacy for Social and Economic Rights, through its program Food Avail Nigeria, and the people are glad that we are not only witnessing the science revolution in the areas of food.
He urged the government and stakeholders to disregard concerns raised by the tractors who advocate for the banning of GMOs and invest in the provision of GMO seeds to farmers.
Nigerian government must dismiss those persons as persons who are misguided, but must remain focused on the vision that this country has had beginning from the 80s when it established the Sheda Institute of Science and Technology for the purpose of developing biotechnology. This country must not, you know, give in to conspiracy theorists that are driven by their own imagined fears.
Barrister Frank Tete is executive director of the Citizens Advocacy for Social and Economic Rights in Nigeria. As the 2024 wet farming season fast approaches, government needs to get set to make inputs available for farmers on time. In this interview with Voice of Nigeria's agriculture correspondent, Enne Okwanehe, the Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, Senator Abubakar Kyari, speaks on government's preparation for the wet season. Senator Kyari also touched on the issue of flooding and the government's plan to mitigate it.
As you are aware, we have been donated 2,150,000 bags of assorted fertilizer from the CBN. We're in the process of taking possession of those. We have not taken possession yet. And at this point, I think by end of March, hopefully by the midweek, mid-month of next month, which is April, we should have distributed these fertilizer to especially those areas that are beginning to see planting for the wet season. So hopefully we should be able to, we want to start on time. Like I've always pointed out, is when you have inputs at the right time, you have seeds, proper seeds, and this is what exactly what His Excellency is talking about.
That was the Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, Senator Abubakar Kyari. You're listening to Von Scope, a half-hour news magazine from Voice of Nigeria. For more on economic news, here is Elizabeth Christopher.
The Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, has revealed that it had enlisted the services of law enforcement agencies to scrutinize counterclaims by some bodies with respect to the settlement of outstanding foreign exchange backlog obligations. The governor of the bank, Olayemi Kadoso, disclosed this to journalists in Abuja, Nigeria's capital.
We got wind of the fact that, well, there were a number of transactions which, quite frankly, had some issues with respect to the genuineness of them. So we said, well, in that case, the best thing may be to let us get a well-reputed organization that can do a proper forensic of the transactions that are so defined as forward contracted transactions, and to ensure that they had a report which we could rely on. In the course of that, of course, we determined that a number of these transactions did not qualify.
Mr. Kadoso, however, said that if there is any information to the contrary, the Central Bank of Nigeria's management will reconsider its stand in due course. The African Development Bank, AFDB, has approved a $50 million loan facility to support climate change resilience, improve livelihood, and boost food security in Yobe State in northeast Nigeria. In a statement, the bank said its board of directors approved the loan to support the state's environment and climate change action plan, which will eventually improve the livelihood of over 3.5 million people. The project, which would cost an estimated $101.34 million, would be co-financed by the Arab Bank for Economic Development in Africa, which is expected to provide $30 million, while the Yobe state government will contribute $4.2 million in counterpart funding. And the project beneficiaries will also contribute $16.82 million. Yobe is ranked as one of the states in Nigeria most vulnerable to climate change, with 72% of its population living below the poverty line. Rounding off the economic news, oil prices fell for the second consecutive session on Wednesday as the dollar strengthened and government data showed a surprise jump in U.S. crude and gasoline stocks. Brent crude futures for May were down 49 cents at $85.76 a barrel at 17.07 GMT, while the most actively traded June contract fell 51 cents to $85.12 a barrel. The May contract expires on Thursday. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude futures for May delivery fell 46 cents to $81.16 a barrel. Both Brent and West Texas Intermediate had fallen by more than $1 in earlier trading. That's all on economic news. I am Elizabeth Christopher.
And for sports update, here is Edwin Akwe.
Thanks so much, and it's good to have you join us on the sports news segment. We'll begin with wrestling, where President of the Nigerian Wrestling Federation, Daniel Igali, has assured Nigerians of multiple medals at the upcoming Paris 2024 Olympics. Five Nigerian wrestlers qualified for the Olympics at the just concluded Oceania Africa Olympic qualifiers held in Egypt. And Igali said that the federation went to the championship with a target of qualifying wrestlers for the Olympics. According to him, the federation achieved its target in Egypt, adding that the wrestlers will start immediate preparations ahead of the Olympic Games. Igali said the federation had a fantastic outcome from the African Games in Ghana to the African Championships and the Oceania Africa Olympic qualifier. The Nigerian wrestling team won 9 medals, comprising 6 gold, 2 silver, and 1 bronze medal in Egypt, while some of the wrestlers have qualified to represent the country at the Paris Olympics. Handball is next, where Benin City in Edo State, Southern Nigeria, will host the fourth phase of the Adova Handball Premier League in April, that's next month, as announced by the media assistant of the Handball Federation of Nigeria, Cosmos Chukwuemeka, on Wednesday. Chukwuemeka, in a statement in Lagos, also said that the two-week event would begin on April 28th and end on May 11th in Edo State. He said the event would be the biggest top-tier handball league in Nigeria. Still talking about Africa Games and Olympics, meanwhile, Nigeria's Minister of Sports Development, Senator John Enom, is optimistic that Team Nigeria athletes will do the country proud during the Summer Olympics in France. Senator Enom believes the athletes' performance at the Africa Games in Ghana, as well as other qualifying championships, were evident to their readiness to win medals at the Olympic Games.
The country is very proud of their achievements, individual and collective. And I have continued to say, we're going to continue to keep the welfare of our athletes, our sportsmen and women at the front burner of whatever we do in the ministry. I mean, the next Games are in 2027. Planning and preparing for that starts today.
And to football now, Algeria forward Yassine Brahimi has hailed the 2024 FIFA series, describing it as a positive initiative. The FIFA series, which held in this month of March FIFA window, consists of international friendly matches that are contested by national teams from all six confederations who do not normally have the opportunity to play each other. The pilot edition featured the national teams of 24 FIFA member associations, and the Algerian forward Yassine Brahimi believes it's a big step forward for host nations, especially Algerians, to be welcoming countries from different continents, giving them chance to show the African continent in a good light. And finally, in tennis, world number one Novak Djokovic has played with coach Goran Ivanisevic. Former Wimbledon champion Ivanisevic became Djokovic's main coach in March 2022, having worked with him alongside long-term mentor Marian Vaja since 2018. Serb Djokovic has won a joint record 24 Grand Slam singles titles, but has made a disappointing start to 2024. Djokovic lost in the semifinals of the Australian Open in January, suffered the third-round defeat by world number 123 Luka Nadi at Indian Wells this month, then withdrew from the ongoing Miami Open, citing a need to balance his private and professional schedule. Croat Ivanisevic was nominated for the ATP Coach of the Year in 2023, having helped Djokovic to three of the four Grand Slam titles. And that's it on the sports news segment. My name is Edwin Akwe.
Well, it's now time to take a look at what happened on this day in history. On this day in 1924, democratic constitution went into effect in Ecuador. Also on this day in 1953, Libya joined the Arab League, which is now 8 years old. Finally, on this day in 2016, marked exactly 9 years since the former head of state, retired General Muhammadu Buhari, was elected president of Nigeria. But those were some of the events that took place on this day in history. Let's now join Margaret Epeshi for Weather Forecast.
This is the weather forecast across Africa for Thursday, 28 March 2024. Nigerian Meteorological Agency, NIMET, predicts possible morning thunderstorms to Cross River and Akwa Ibom State, while other parts of the south and central cities will have sunny intervals. The north will be sunny and hazy, except the Taraba State, where cloudy condition is expected. Later in the day, better chances of thunderstorms are expected to the southern region. General temperatures will range from 34 to 42 degrees Celsius across the country. Across Africa, Bissau, Guinea-Bissau in West Africa will be sunny with a temperature of about 38 degrees Celsius. Antananarivo, Madagascar in East Africa will have sunny intervals with a temperature of about 25 degrees Celsius. Algiers, Algeria in North Africa will also have sunny intervals with a temperature of about 25 degrees Celsius. Sao Tome, capital of Sao Tome and Principe in Central Africa, will have thundery showers with a temperature of about 30 degrees Celsius. While in Southern Africa, Gaborone, Botswana, will be sunny with a temperature of about 31 degrees Celsius. That's today's weather forecast across selected cities in Africa. Remember the effects of climate change and do your part to promote green energy. I am Margaret Ebeshi.
African Proverbs for today says, the forest yields when it's tired. It simply means you reap positive results after you have worked hard. So let's go out there and work hard to reap positive result. And to end this edition of Vance Cooper Recap of our major stories, Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu has set up a 31-man Presidential Economic Coordination Council to support and re-engineer the nation's economic governance framework. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has officially launched the country's first ever interest-free commercial Islamic bank. Divers at the Baltimore Bridge collapse in the United States of America have uncovered two bodies submerged underwater in a red pickup truck. You can listen to Voice of Nigeria on www.von.gov.ng. You can also send your comments or observations to EnglishVon@yahoo.com or vonigeria880@gmail.com. The program was produced by Hudu Yakubu, and I am Rebecca Yunusa Avia. Thank you so much for listening.
A rhythm of love from Nigeria. The country that defines the future of Africa. Voice of Nigeria, your authoritative choice.
The Nigerian Bank of Agriculture Limited, BOA, was incorporated as Nigeria Agricultural Bank, NAB, in 1972 and became operational in 1973. In 1978, the institute's name was changed to Nigeria Agricultural and Cooperative Bank, NACB, Limited, to reflect a broader mandate. In 2010, the bank was rebranded and a new name was adopted as Bank of Agriculture, BOA, in line with institutional transformation in achieving her established mandate for Nigerians. It's on that note, dear listener, that I welcome you to the program Beyond Poverty Line. Our focus on this edition is the achievements of Bank of Agriculture on poverty reduction in Nigeria. We're reaching you from the studio of Voice of Nigeria, and my name is Chikezie Ibe. Stay tuned for more details. I'll be right back. Agriculture is an important sector of the economy with a higher potential for employment generation, food security, and poverty reduction. In Nigeria, agriculture is largely dominated by subsistence farming. However, with imported seedlings, modern farming methods, and a better weather forecast, agriculture has continued significantly in the country, more especially with the financial supports and other incentives to farmers nowadays. Emmanuel Ijewere, the chairman of Best Foods Farms, emphasizes on the recapitalization of the Bank of Agriculture for optimum performance.
First, what they have already started doing. The first thing they did, which was the right thing to do, was to put in place professionals. They have completely reorganized the management of the bank. Virtually all those that run the bank, from the managing director, all the executive directors, and the top executives, are all from the private sector. So there's a private sector mentality that's been brought in. So it's a new ball game we're talking about. It's not like what used to happen. So we've talked about history. Now we're going to talk about the reality of today. I think there's no better time than now. And I'm glad that this minister has now set a 90-day period within which to be done. Because the longer it takes, the more we just lose interest in it. It's the what government has done here is a very good one. I don't think it's in the interest of going forward for the government to hold 40% of the shares. It should be run like a private company. The moment people continue to believe that government owns a substantial part of it, that's bad psychology comes back into it. There's enough funding in the country today. If you look at all the various levies and so on, the central bank, it's about one trillion naira. That the central bank is holding, doing nothing. You have the sugar, you have the cocoa, all those things that monies were collected as levies that have been kept in the bank. These are monies that could have been used, but it should not be used the same way it was used in the past. You're putting a good management there, let it be run like a private sector company. No farmer that I know that's a genuine farmer would not wish to pay back his loan. All he's looking for is, understand my problem, let's work together. Because every farmer that I know is a hard-working person and an honest and trustworthy person. So I believe that it's not just farming again. the mentality that we're now going into it, because in the past, the philosophy of government has been supply, supply, supply. Now, it should be demand. That means that you don't even plant anything unless you have an off-taker. So there will be a tripartite arrangement. The off-taker, the bank, and the farmer. The three of them must work together as a team. That's the kind of future we're looking for, and that is called agribusiness. Not necessarily farming, but also along the entire value chain.
The mandate of the Bank of Agriculture is to provide agricultural credit facilities to all agricultural value chain activities. According to 2018 total estimates by the International Food and Agriculture Organization, IFAO, a total of 59.5 million metric tons of food was being produced in Nigeria. This impressive record, no doubt, was as a result of Bank of Agriculture and its support for subsistence and mechanized farming, which had a significant impact on food security and job creation in the country. Mohammed Santoraki is the former managing director of Bank of Agriculture in Nigeria.
Since 1973, the bank has advanced about 70 billion. But only recently, that means over the course of last year, the bank, through the Anko Borrower Program, has advanced about 20.1 billion naira to farmers under the Anko Borrower Program. And obviously, the output is clear in terms of rice. This is where what I'm citing, that about 730,000 metric tons of paddy rice was produced, and you could see it. If you go to Kebbi, this is a place that is bustling with activities. Employment opportunities have also been created, with more than 113,000 smallholder farmers given job. Of course, there are direct and indirect effects, which amount to about 560,000 farmers that benefited under the Anko Borrower program. Because of its success, now several states, about 12 states, are coming forward to participate under the Anko Borrower program.
Capital is regarded as a major factor for expanding production and modernization of agriculture in any given economy. This is to say that credit facilities to farmers can facilitate and foster the development of agriculture for efficiency, food security, and wealth creation for the teeming population of the country. In the meantime, the major problem of smallholder farming is lack of access to capital or credit facilities. Professor Dambala Danju is the former managing director of the Bank of Agriculture, Kaduna, Northwest Nigeria.
The Bank of Agriculture, like the agricultural sector in general, until the advent of this administration, seems to have suffered relative neglect. But with the coming of this administration, there is a concerted one to revive it. Essentially, the mandate of the bank is to provide agricultural credit as well as non-agricultural credit. It also provides information system, but especially to people in the rural areas. With our branches all over the country, the bank has since 1973 been supporting farmers in various ways. As of today, the bank has advanced over 70 billion naira to the agricultural sector. The current portfolio of the bank is about 29.4 billion naira. So in essence, it's still the main bank in the agricultural sector. And our collaboration with the central bank under the Anko Borrower program has enabled us to support farmers, especially in Kebbi, more than 70,000 farmers. And now, because of the success of the pilot program in Kebbi, the program is to be extended to the rest of the country.
Some of the recent achievements of the Bank of Agriculture in boosting and expanding production in Nigeria are the disbursement of over 3 billion naira to 22,120 smallholder farmers through the Agriculture Value Chain Financing Program. This initiative by Nigerian Bank of Agriculture has significantly improved the output of subsistence farmers in the country. Alwan Hassan is the managing director of Bank of Agriculture, located in Kaduna, Northwest Nigeria.
Nations felt they have made a mistake. How do you move forward? How do we get this money back? Because the governor of CBN is very annoyed. Say he can only deal with us going forward. They said I've recovered about 9 billion naira. When he said, how much is 9 billion when you compare with the loan of about 90 billion? Can you imagine there's no loan for people that have farming rice or maize? How do we survive?
I think government must take the decision that it needs to really subsidize agriculture in a big way. We are talking about food security for 200 million people, and this food security depends on the productivity of small-scale farmers, some of whom have less than 1 hectare.
In addition to that, the Nigerian Bank of Agriculture has funded 49 agro and food processing businesses with a huge sum of 59.4 billion naira in loans. These efforts by the Bank of Agriculture have led to increased production output and created an estimated 286,581 jobs in the country. Dr. Tayo Adulogu is a CEO of the Nigerian Economic Summit Group. He talks on the positive legislation for farming incentives to farmers in the country.
We're envisaging the Vision 2020. A big part of what we looked at in agriculture was to cost and drive a pivot in agriculture from agriculture for survival to agriculture as a business, which was our advocacy for almost 7 years. That led up to a national summit on agriculture, where we then said it was time to sit down and envisage what the future of agriculture will be. The Agri Transformation Agenda came out of that summit, and the impetus we saw in private sector-led investments was a result of that. Did a gap assessment on legislations in trying to reform the Nigerian economy, and we noted how there were many archaic laws within our national laws that hindered the ease of doing business, hindered the environment in which business could succeed. Those deficits led to us saying to ourselves that it was time to transform our laws. We counted 115 laws at that time that were outdated.
Since its creation, the Nigerian Bank of Agriculture has contributed immensely to the economy of Nigeria through job creation and food security. Nevertheless, one worrying factor or challenge encountered by the Bank of Agriculture is non-repayment of the facilities granted to farmers and some industry owners. Therefore, to ensure the optimum performance, the beneficiaries of the facilities granted by the bank ought to repay timely. This can greatly facilitate the Bank of Agriculture to redouble the achievements and purpose of its establishment. Well, dear listener, that's where we conclude this week's edition of the program Beyond Poverty Line, where we focused on the achievements of the Nigerian Bank of Agriculture on poverty reduction in Nigeria. You can share your comments and observations by writing to the producer, Beyond Poverty Line, Voice of Nigeria, PMB 40003, Falomo, Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria, or PO Box 5089, Wuse Post Office, Abuja, Nigeria. You can also reach us through our email address at vonenglishproducers@gmail.com. Visit our website on www.von.gov.ng for our live stream. You can also listen to us via the Voice of Nigeria mobile app, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and the TuneIn app, all available on any of your preferred app store. The program was produced by Isaac Desemela. Comfort Kiwa was on the audio console, and my name is Chikezie Ibe. Thanking you so much for staying tuned. Goodbye.
C
from the center of unity, Abuja, to the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, Lagos. This is Voice of Nigeria.
Well, there are certainly many ways Nigerians are using or engaging themselves in to lift themselves out of poverty. And of course, there are many institutions that guide these innovations, one of which is the Bank of Agriculture. Don't miss the program, same time next week on Voice of Nigeria. Let's now find out how art can also help those living in poverty to come out of the situation. At the top of the hour, we'll also be bringing you the news we're tracking at this time. Do stay with us and don't go away.
Bridal makeup is a special type of makeup that is applied to a bride on her wedding day. It aims to enhance the bride's natural beauty and create a look that is both timeless and elegant. Bridal makeup typically focuses on creating a flawless complexion, accentuating the eyes and enhancing the lips. Hello and welcome to another edition of World of the Arts, reaching you from the studios of Voice of Nigeria. World of the Arts is a program that sheds light on all forms of art. On this edition, we'll be looking at bridal makeup as an art of beautification. I am Jude Kankara. Do stay tuned. Makeup has a long history in Nigeria, dating back to ancient times. In traditional Nigerian culture, makeup was used for various purposes, including beauty enhancement and religious rituals. Each Nigerian culture has its own unique beauty practices and makeup techniques. In the Hausa culture, for example, henna was used to decorate the hands and feet. The Yoruba culture has a tradition of using adire dye to create intricate patterns on the skin. A type of clay called uli was used to paint decorative designs on the face and body. During the colonial era, Nigerian women started to adopt Western makeup products such as foundation and lipstick. The introduction of cinema in Nigeria in the 1920s also played a significant role in shaping makeup trends. Nigerian actresses in the early film industry often wore heavy makeup on screen, influencing beauty ideals. The 1960s and 1970s saw a rise in the popularity of Nigerian music and fashion, which also impacted makeup trends. Nigerian musicians and fashion icons became influential figures, defining beauty standards. Let's hear from Crystal Oboni, a makeup artist.
Hello, this is Christy, also known as Crystal Makeover. I am into makeup artistry and reusable autogilly. Makeup did not just start. It started way before the pre-colonial era. Back then, you see most men and women applying kajal under their eye. Some of them believe that if they apply it, they'll see spirits, or most people believe it brings out deaths from the eyes. And then you see some traditional worshippers applying white chalk or make use of powder to cover up their natural or physical look. These are all just makeup. There are other instances as well, but makeup didn't just start today. It started a long time ago.
Bridal makeup is an art form that requires precision, skill, and the right materials. From foundations to eyeshadows, each product plays a crucial role in creating the perfect bridal look. When it comes to bridal makeup, we pay special attention to the materials we use. For a flawless base, we opt for long-lasting foundations that provide a natural finish and blend seamlessly into the skin. Foundations come in various formulations such as liquid, cream, and powder, each offering different levels of coverage. Makeup artists carefully select the right foundation based on the bride's skin type and the desired look. We also have ingredients like hyaluronic acid and vitamin E, which are often added to foundations to hydrate the skin and give it a radiant glow. It's important to choose products that not only enhance the beauty, but also nourish the skin. Eye shadows also play a key role in defining the eyes and adding depth to the overall makeup look. Makeup artists often use a combination of mattes and shimmer shades to create a stunning eye makeup look that complements the bride's features. Blending is key to achieving a seamless eye shadow look. We use high quality eye shadows that are pigmented and easy to blend, ensuring that the colors pop and the eyes sparkle. There you have it, the secrets behind the materials used for bridal makeup. From foundations to eyeshadows, each product plays a vital role in creating a picture-perfect bridal look that will last throughout the day. Crystal Oboni tells us more.
Materials for bridal makeup. Now you need your clean brushes because you don't have to take dirty brushes to work on someone's face. You have to get your brushes ready, your products, good products too, because if you go and take roadside makeup materials to do a bridal work, it's going to spoil your work entirely. So you have to get good products from good vendors. Yeah, and then there's also your blending brush, the right brushes though, because you can't use the brush you use for highlighting to contour. It's going to mess up your work.
Before the makeup takes place, it is common for brides to have a consultation with a professional makeup artist. During the session, the bride and makeup artist discuss desired look, consider the wedding theme, and take into account the bride's personal preferences and features. Secondly, preparing the skin is crucial for achieving a beautiful bridal makeup look. Leading up to the wedding day, brides should follow a consistent skincare routine to ensure their skin is well hydrated and is in optimal condition. These includes cleansing, toning, moisturizing, and using suitable skincare products based on their skin type. Thirdly, choosing the right foundation is essential for achieving a flawless complexion. The foundation should match the bride's skin tone perfectly and provide good coverage. It is important to blend the foundation well, ensuring there are no visible lines or patches. Fourthly, the eyes are a focal point of bridal makeup. Eye makeup can vary depending on the bride's preferences and the overall look she wants to achieve. Popular choices include soft, neutral shades for a natural look or bold and smoky eye makeup for a more dramatic effect. False eyelashes are often used to add volume and definition to the lashes. Fifthly, for bridal makeup, it is common to choose lipstick shades that complement the overall look and match the bride's skin tone. Popular choices include classic reds, soft pinks, or nude shades. Long-lasting and transfer-proof formulas are preferred to ensure the lipstick stays intact throughout the day. 6. To make the bridal makeup last all day, it is important to set it properly. This can be done using a setting spray or light dusting or translucent powder to minimize shine and keep the makeup in place. Then lastly, it is a good idea to have a touch-up kit on hand during the wedding. This may include a lipstick or lip gloss for touch-ups, blotting papers to control shine, and some powder and brushes for minor adjustments. It is recommended to work with a professional makeup artist who can create a customized bridal look based on the bride's individual features and desired outcome. Crystal Oboni again.
How long does it take for a makeup artist to make up a bride? It depends though. Like, most brides want you to really, really take your time, and then they get up early to make the work easier for you. So it can take 1 to 2 hours, yes. But then most brides, they don't wake up early. You just have to do a quick one, which will take 40 minutes to 1 hour. What are the different techniques of bridal makeup? One of the techniques I use for my bridal makeup is, one, to moisturize the face, and then using sweat block to reduce the sweat coming out of the bride's face during the event, because you don't want your bride to be sweating throughout her event. And then while blending your foundation, you have to make the products go into this by dabbing it into your blending foam. The foundation will go into the skin and everything blends out. You don't need to wash on that, because when you wash on that, you see it leaving like lines on the face, not well blended. So you have to take your time to do all that and make sure that the product gets into the skin.
To apply makeup on a bride, you first of all prepare the skin by cleansing, toning, and moisturizing to create a smooth, base for makeup application. Use a primer to ensure long-lasting wear. Next, apply foundation that matches the bride's skin tone and blend it in seamlessly. Conceal any blemishes or dark circles for a flawless complexion. Shape the eyebrows to frame the face beautifully. Filling any sparse areas with a brow pencil powder for the eyes. Create a stunning look with eyeshadow in colors that complement the bridal outfit. Blend light and dark shades for depth and dimension. Define the eyes further with eyeliner and volumizing mascara for a captivating gaze that will mesmerize everyone. Add a touch of blush to the apples of the cheeks for a healthy flush. Highlight the high points of the face for a radiant glow. Finally, complete the look with a long-lasting lipstick or lip stain in a flattering shade. Consider using a lip liner to define the lips. Crystal Obuni tells us about the process.
Let me say, a bridal makeup is really different from normal makeup, because normally I wouldn't do what a bride would wear on her wedding day to work. So first of all, you have to prepare the face for makeup, prime the face, moisturize the face and all that before applying your foundation, your highlighter. It's a whole lot of process though.
Crystal Obuni, a makeup artist, also shares with us her challenges.
The challenges I face as a makeup artist is one, having the wrong client. Like, most people come to you and expect you to charge like lesser of your worth. Makeup products are expensive. You don't, if it's easy, just run it yourself. And then having clients too, again, is a challenge to me, because I work from home and I don't really know people around. I just get like just few clients once in a while. My advice to those that want to go into makeup, make sure it is your passion to do the makeup. And then you do not need to have all of the materials before you start. Most of the times you need just the essentials. Get a good vendor that sells good products. And then also, you don't necessarily need a shop to start up. You can start up from your home if you are serious about it. Yeah, that's my advice for those who wants to go into makeup.
From minimalistic chic to bold and glamorous, bridal makeup has seen a tremendous evolution over the years. Makeup artists around the world are pushing boundaries and redefining traditional bridal beauty standards. Indeed, the beauty industry has witnessed a fascinating transformation in bridal makeup. Bridal makeup is all about enhancing natural beauty while reflecting the bride's individual style. Trends may come and go, but the key is to create a look that makes the bride feel confident and radiant on a special day. Sustainability and inclusivity have become major factors in the bridal makeup industry. Brides today are more conscious about the products they use and the impact on the environment. It's important for makeup brands to offer diverse shade ranges to cater for brides of all skin tones and ethnicities. Every bride deserves to feel beautiful on her wedding day. Bridal beauty knows no bounds. Whether classic or avant-garde, the art of bridal makeup continues to inspire and delight brides around the world. We've come to the end of this edition of World of the Arts. This week's edition focused on bridal makeup as an art of beautification. We're reaching you from the studios of Voice of Nigeria. You can share your thoughts with us by writing to the producer, World of the Arts, Voice of Nigeria, Broadcasting House, PMB 40003. Follow more Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria, or PMB 5089, Wuse, Abuja, Nigeria. You can send an email to vonenglishproducers@gmail.com or visit the website www.von.gov.ng for live streaming of our programs and news. Production was by Elizabeth Odinia. Sharif Yakini handled the audio console, and I am Jude Kankara. Goodbye.